Friday edition. Dominic, I want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one friend of ours, Maggie Dawn. She's the Mad Dog. She's Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. Always appreciate when she comes round. And Dominic, we welcome back another fine guest. We'd like to think he's also a friend of ours. He's political pundit, lefty talker, man of renown, Bill Press, our pal. Welcome back, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, hi, Crute. Hi, Dom. Good to be here.
How you doing, sir? Man?
I'm good. I'm trying to stay cool in Washington. It's hellhole here, you know? It's like 97, 98 every day, high humidity.
Do you blame
Joe? That's why they call it the swamp. It is a swamp.
Do you blame Joe Biden for the hot and humid weather? I'm sure somebody
does. I blame
Donald
Trump. I blame him for everything, right? So.
Well, some of the headlines we've seen this week, Bill, a little troubling. General Milley, or as Trump would say, air quotes, General Milley, apparently through the reporting, I believe it's Philip Rucker's book, Only I Can Fix It, apparently Milley was quite concerned that the former president might try a little coup d'etat, and Milley felt a little bit better in that he didn't have the CIA, the FBI, and the people with the guns behind him, but that doesn't mean Trump wasn't endeavoring. Bill, how troubling was that headline, that information contained in the reported book excerpts?
Well, it's the book by Phil Rucker and Carol Lenning, right? Who comes out, by the way, comes out next week. It's one of a flood of Trump books that we're seeing. Michael Bender, Michael Wolff, this one coming out. I know there are a couple more.
And Trump gave interviews, including for this book. It's not like he didn't have knowledge they were writing this book. He participated, did he not?
ABC News has got them coming out too, right? He'll be pissed. I blanked on his name. But at any rate, no, Trump knew all these books were coming out. He sat down with every one of them. And now he's kicking himself for sitting down with them, right? And he's denying everything that's in these books. The fact is, first of all, I think we thought we were at the point where we couldn't be shocked by anything we heard about Donald Trump. I thought this was unbelievably shocking. I mean, here's the president of the United States who is talking out loud in the Oval Office with Mike Meadows and General Milley about what they can do to overturn the election, basically to overthrow the government. And then he turns around and says, and that's what the people wanted. We had this rally. He said there were a million people there. Come on. I mean, there were not a million people at the Donald Trump rally. Maybe there were 10,000. I don't know. There were not a freaking million people. And then he says, and it was all full of love.
So much love.
Full of love. This was a coup d'etat. This was an attempt to overthrow the United States government. They trashed the Capitol. They violated the House floor, the Senate floor. They were out to kill members of Congress. They threatened to hang the Vice President of the United States. They killed Capitol police officers. They beat Capitol police officers. And now Donald Trump and his Republican stooges are saying, these were just Americans expressing their opinion. No, it wasn't. This was the Civil War. This was the British burning the Capitol in 1812. This was the terrorists on 9/11 aiming that plane at the Capitol. You know, the brave Americans brought that plane down, but these 10,000 got inside the Capitol. So, it was an attempted, Donald Trump wanted a coup, and he got one with that crowd at the Capitol.
Bill Press.
It didn't go as far as Milley did. What I thought was brave about Milley is Milley told Trump, no, you're not going to do that. That's wrong. And then he went back and told his fellow generals, if you get any orders from Donald Trump, you come to me first, right? And he said, we are not going to let this happen. And he also said he was glad that the FBI and the CIA were on their side because he said, we've got the guy. We're the guys with the guns. Unbelievable.
Bill, I believe Michael Wolff also wrote a book. And if you believe Michael Wolff's reporting, it was the drunken ramblings, the strategery, if you will, of Rudy Giuliani that perhaps inspired the big lie. And of course, Trump wanted to hear so desperately that he'd won, despite the fact that Fox News had called Arizona against him. But do you believe that? Do you believe that this, you know, national turmoil was truly, you know, just the drunken ramblings, telling the boss what he wanted to hear, Bill? Do you think this all stems from Rudy?
No. First of all, I don't believe anything Michael Wolff writes. And I think with good reason. There's been a lot of reporting, I'm sure you've seen it, that Michael Wolff just makes stuff up, right? But this is what I do believe. This big lie is Donald Trump's big lie. Let's not lay it off on anybody else. This is Donald Trump's big lie. In 2016, remember, he said the election was rigged. That's the only way Hillary is going to win. It was rigged. And of course, when the Electoral College gave it to him, then he said this was the greatest election in American history.
Landslide.
Right? Yeah. And then in 2020, he said, in 2019, he said all the way leading up to 2020, this election was going to be rigged. There was people were, you know, undocumented people were working. They were bussing people in from Canada. I mean, all that BS, right? He laid that whole thing out. What Rudy did, Rudy just, you know, kissing Trump's ass every other minute, Rudy was just echoing and expanding and spreading Donald Trump's big lie. But I don't believe, Michael, this didn't start with Rudy Giuliani. This started with Donald J. Trump, who is a big loser and can't admit that, and will never admit that he's a big freaking loser.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's our pal, Bill Press. He is a big loser, and I noted it from back in you know.
Don't call Bill that.
The big Trump. Trump is the big loser, not Bill. You are awesome. Donald Trump, I noted, Bill, back in you know, February, March of that year, he was laying the groundwork. He just kept saying it. He kept saying it. I mean, and it's like, it was kind of out of the blue, right? It didn't make a whole lot of, like, what are you talking about? We're not even there yet. You know what? And so he had been putting the foundation down for this for a very long time. And it makes sense that a guy like that would lose, lost the Senate, lost the House, you know, 600,000 people died in a pandemic that he did not respond adequately to. I don't know how people could think that he wouldn't lose an election like that. But let's just step away from Trump for a minute, Bill. I want to get your sense.
Tom,
yeah, go ahead.
Can I just add a footnote?
Please,
there?
Yes.
So here is why Kevin McCarthy is the biggest idiot on the planet. Because what does Kevin McCarthy do yesterday?
You know, goes down and kisses his ass.
The House has a couple of things going on, right? They got a big $3.5 billion budget. They got the infrastructure bill. They got the January 6th committee. You go down the list. And yep. What does McCarthy do? He goes off to Bedminster, New Jersey to kiss Donald Trump's ass. And you know he had a list with him. Now, how about if I put this guy on the committee? Would that be okay with you, Mr. President? He went down the list. Kevin McCarthy believes that the way Republicans are going to win and the Republicans will take back the House in 2020 is by hitching themselves to Donald Trump, right? And just talking about the big lie of 2020. That's how he thinks they're going to win in 2022. I think he is dead wrong. People have had it. They don't believe it.
I agree. I you know, we talk about this, and I'm down. If Republican Party, you want to continue to support a guy like Donald Trump, given the destructive track record, the wake that he has left, I don't see how you think that you're going to change that trajectory over the next couple of months or next couple of years. No. But Bill, the president came out and had a very eloquent, passionate speech about voting rights. I got 3 minutes left in this segment. Bill, I want to get your sense of the president's speech and what do you think the path forward for that in Congress might be?
I think it was the best speech Joe Biden ever gave. It's good to see Joe Biden show a little passion, but I think it was it just didn't go far enough because there is no way you're going to get any voting rights bill, in my judgment, and people I've talked to. No way to get a voting rights bill through the Congress without getting rid of the filibuster or without amending the filibuster. Now, I know that's not Biden's position. It never has been. But I would just hope he's going to have to. This is not the same Senate. I say this as a big fan of Joe Biden's, and I want to talk maybe after the break about this $300 per kid that happened this week that we ought to be celebrating, right? But I'm a big fan of Joe Biden's, but this is not the same Senate that was there when he was in the Senate. And he thinks it is. And he thinks he can pull the same rabbit out of the hat, bipartisan rabbit out of the hat. Not with this crowd, not with Ted Cruz, not with Lindsey Graham, not with Chuck Grassley, not with your guy, Ron Johnson, right? I'm sorry, I know he's not
good. Oh, Bill, that hurts a little, man.
Get rid of him. Do us all a favor. So I think Biden's got, and so does Manchin, and so does, they got to come to the realization to save our democracy. That's what's at stake, to save our democracy from these attempts to undermine it and destroy it on the part of these Republican state legislatures and the Republicans in Congress. They gotta get rid of the filibuster.
Bill Press, you are the former chair of the Democratic Party state of California. Reporting from CNN, they were targeted. Domestic terrorism, the California Democratic Party targeted. Yeah. We got like 30 seconds in this segment, Bill. Any initial comments? I know it's early reporting, sir.
No, early reporting, but I mean, this is outrageous. Why were they attacking the Democratic Party headquarters? Why would they do that in Sacramento, right? I guess what? Because they don't like Donald Trump? I mean, it is really getting to the point today. If you're not an out-and-out Trumper, you are a target of these right-wing fanatics, right? January 6th was not the end of the violence we're going to see in this country. As long as these people are in charge, there's going to be more violence. And as long as they're listening to Donald Trump, there'll be more violence because he wants it. He eggs it on.
That's why we got Bill Press from a secret location. Come back. More Bill Press, more Devil's Advocates.
Once again, the American public has some reading to do. In a 29-page indictment today, Americans need to take a look at page 6, paragraph 20, and here come those important 8 words: to interfere with the 2016 U.S. presidential election. That is it.
Jim, I'm going to make a confession on behalf of the panel. Dom's not going to read the indictment.
Come on, maybe.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class. Aleppo. What is Aleppo? Dom and Kreutz are the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, go to devilradio927.com. You can download and listen to podcasts and interviews.
Dominic, you know what's always cool? When you can have one of your, you know, your pundit heroes on the radio show with us. A guy like Bill Press, he's a friend of ours. Thank you so much for coming around, Bill.
It's fun. It always is. We always have a good time.
Well, Bill, I get that you're not a big fan of the Michael Wolff, but what about the reporting at The Guardian this week that alleges that Donald Trump was indeed compromised? Apparently, and I would caution, some of this information appears to have come from the Kremlin, and it might be some sort of disinformation campaign, you know, a la Dan Rather. But Bill, wanted to get your take. Have we confirmed that there is indeed a PP tape, sir?
First, you know, the big question we had coming, one of the big questions out of Donald Trump's 4 years is what does Putin have on him, right? Why did Donald Trump just buttering up Putin every chance he has, even saying that he believed Putin over the U.S. intelligence agency, that he had to have something on Putin. I think he could have. I don't think he signed on as an operative, but I think they saw him as someone who was malleable, who was basically all about himself. They knew that flattery would get him anywhere. And I think they gave him basically made him, you know, treat him like a king when he got to the Kremlin. I believe the Christopher Steele dossier, and I believe that we'll see the PP tape before we're dead. Maybe, I think the Kremlin saw him as not an official, right, but as an unofficial agent. Absolutely.
Do you think he was their unofficial Manchurian candidate? I mean, some of the reporting alleges that the Kremlin thought he was unstable, mentally unstable. It wasn't just that he was narcissistic. No. It's that he had an inferiority complex, which I strongly suspected about the man. But you go, Bill.
No, absolutely. No, I think they probably through their agents, one of whom might have been Rudy Giuliani or their people. I want to use the word agent carefully. People they could trust to do what they wanted, definitely encouraged Trump to run. They didn't want Hillary, right? And they thought that Trump would be the most, again, malleable and most approachable. Absolutely. But I want to take an editorial chance here. I just want to say, I don't want us to overlook, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, this week, right?
Yes.
Got to give Joe Biden, I think we have to give Joe Biden credit for two things. Number one, he ended the war in Afghanistan. George Bush didn't, Barack Obama didn't, Donald Trump didn't, Joe Biden did. He, in fact, was willing to stand up and say, took a lot of guts, we lost this war, it's time to get the hell out. We've been there 20 years, it's not worth another American life. Good for him. And then yesterday, the biggest anti-poverty program since the 1960s, Joe Biden, all himself, every American family with kids now, they get a, I talked to some people today, they suddenly look at their bank account. They got $300 for every kid under six, $250 for every kid up to 17. You know, that's about $12,000 a year. That makes a big freaking difference in people's lives, right? That is huge. And I think here's why I feel better about 2022 than most Democrats that I talk to who think, you know, we're going to lose everything. I think Democrats, infrastructure is coming, hopefully something on voting rights. I think they're going to be able to go to the American people in 2022 and say, look, we got stuff done. You put us in, we got stuff done. And if you put them back in charge, they're going to undo everything. And that $300 check ain't coming anymore. So I just want to recognize that. I think we have to, you know, take.
Absolutely, Bill. And it was, I wanted to bring that up as well. According to Axios, one in six children live in poverty right now. And this deal could, you know, cut that poverty in half. That is a very big deal. It's very important. It matters immediately. I mean, when you have money in your bank to help feed your children, that is a big difference, especially if you're talking about people who are in poverty. That's a lot of money for them to help. Because the kids need substance. They need to be able to eat and have a roof over their head in order to live and thrive. It's more than just about living. It's also about thriving, Bill.
Yeah. You know, I, on my podcast this morning, one of the reporters I had on really surprised me. He mentioned he looked at this bank account yesterday. He got a check for each of his kids. You know, so this is not just the lowest, you know, the people who live in the most poverty.
Sure.
This is middle class families as well. Right.
Yeah.
Huge difference. And I got to tell you, it's only up for a year. It's going to be hard to get rid of this program. I think it's going to be like Obamacare. This is here to stay along with Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the whole thing.
Bill, we have about 2 minutes left, Bill. The $3.5 trillion infrastructure plan. AP has a piece out today talking about how Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden working very well together. What's your sense on this new compromise plan? Less than what Bernie wanted, but he seems down with it.
Well, first of all, I think one of the best stories today is the fact that Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are kind of, I wouldn't say they're buds, but they're really working together.
Yeah.
And Bernie Sanders wanted like $6.5 trillion. And this is a pragmatic side of Bernie that I always knew. Most people didn't know, right? He'll go fight like hell for what he wants, but he recognizes when he's got the best deal he can, and he'll move on and come back another day. And number one, number two, this bill, if it goes through, it's going to be colossal because it's got childcare in it. It expands Medicare to include dental and vision. It's got a path to citizenship in it for the DACA kids, right? It's got all kinds of good stuff in it. So I hope that, and Manchin I saw today said he's for it, as long as they can pay for it. You
Bill,
know, they can pay for it. I'll give them my credit card.
Bill, there's not going to be two infrastructure bills. There's not going to be a dual path. There won't be a bipartisan bill, to my opinion. How about yours?
There'll be a bipartisan bill on the infrastructure, old-fashioned infrastructure. This $3.5 trillion budget thing will pass only with reconciliation, only with Democrats. Republicans will never vote for any of it, and then they'll run around and take credit for all of it.
See, I only think you get one bite at that apple. I think it'll only be the reconciliation bill, but that's still the big one. Bill Press, you're my hero, man. Thanks for coming around on a Friday afternoon. You make life guys. A little easier.
Thanks, Bill. All right.
We'll see you again.
Take care, man. Come back. More Devils. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789. Ron, I promise you're first.